Hey, good morning, church.
Good morning.
What a fine-looking bunch of people you have here today. And hope everyone's had a real good week. And it's a beautiful day outside, a little cool, but it's fall season now. So let us stand and sing to the Lord. Let's sing number 197, Rejoice, the Lord is King. 197. This one, number 447, Trust and Obey. 447.
Thank you.
This morning. Good, very good. Like I said earlier, it's a beautiful day outside, and no, I'm not Frank Pennington. Frank, if you notice on the deacon's list here in the bulletin, we're kind of going in order, but Frank's out of town. We want to pray for him and his bride as they go on a little trip out in Colorado and Texas and other places, getting a well-deserved vacation. Some of the announcements we got, it's Pastor Appreciation Month. And we sure, certainly do appreciate our pastor. The Samaritan's Purse and the Shoebox thing is still going on. It's hard to say. And November 6th, we're having a packing party for the shoeboxes, so time will be announced a little bit later for that. Choir is starting again. First of next month. So, we have been having church service at 6 o'clock, and that's going to be changed come November 7th, starting on Wednesday night. Church service is going to be at 7, and choir practice is going to be at 6. So, if you want to sing with the choir, show up at 6 o'clock. Everybody is welcome. And we'll try to have a good time. And
just
on Wednesday night. Yes, Sunday night still be at 6 and 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I don't think there's anything else that's going on.
11 o'clock prayer meeting on Tuesday.
11 o'clock prayer meeting on Tuesday. If you can show up, we have an extensive list of people that are. That need prayer and that are unsaved, and well over 200 names that we regularly go over. And prayer is a very powerful thing, and we try to do our best here to pray for people. And while I'm thinking of that, pray for the pastor, pray for the deacons, pray for everyone that has a leadership role in the church, because the devil's at work. I mean, he regularly puts it on those that try to do his will.
That's right.
So just keep everybody in your prayer and in those positions. And if you need anything, give us a call. Give one of the deacons a call, any of the deacons a call. If you know yours, just let them know what's going on. Be a little proactive and keep us in tune with what's going on in your life. With that, let's bow with a word of prayer and get on with our service. Father God, as we just humbly bow again, it's just wonderful to be in your house amongst your people, and I invite you to come into this service and show your presence among us and love us and touch us as you always do. Be with the pastor as he preaches the message that you have given him. Be with the leaders of our nation, the leaders of this church, and like to remember all those who are sick and on our prayer list, and just be with us as we go about our journeys this week, and give us a purpose that we may run across somebody that needs to know you, that we may have the courage to tell them about you. And again, we love you and appreciate you, and just be with us as we go about this service. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Ken,
and Sister Nancy. before the music this morning. Ain't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? And ain't we glad it's cool weather and not cold weather and not hot weather or anything like that? There's always a reason to give praise. No matter what state we're in, no matter what's going on around us, there's always a reason to say that God is good to me and has been good to me. And you know what else? As His child, we can also say He will be good to me, no matter what the situation is. And when, as you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 7 this morning, no matter what the situation is, and I know because many times I in my head, just like end times, just like the end of things, I know that there's a God in heaven. I know that there is a Christ Jesus, and I know that He's prepared a home for me, that when I pass from this world, I'm going to be in with Him for eternity. Amen? But you know what? Sometimes my thinking tries to challenge my faith. And you know, you get to one day I was riding down the road this week, and I thought, is there really? You know, I'll just be honest with you. And then you know what? My emotions and my mind try to misdirect my thinking in Christ Jesus. And so what do I have to do? Do I fend upon the feeling at that moment as you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 6? Do I question who God is? No. What I do is I go back to His Word and let His truth be the reality in my life, no matter what I'm feeling, no matter what I'm thinking. He says, I've gone away to prepare a place for you. If it weren't true, I would not have told you these things. I also know that as you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 7, I also know that the Bible teaches both of them at one time. Seven. Now see, you messed me up, man. I know that the Bible tells me that I have a God that cannot lie. He can't lie to me, and so I can trust His Scripture. And when I can't trust what He's allowing to go on around me, when I can't trust the way I feel, I can always trust His love. Always trust His love. If nothing else, if you remember about today, I've got a friend named Bill. I asked you to pray for him this morning, but I've got to where I make him, or I can't make him do anything. But I ask him every day, have you smiled? And then he'll usually smile, and then I ask him, have you told yourself that nobody loves you like Jesus? Do you know if you'll do that every day, smile and say that nobody loves me like Jesus, it will change the way you feel about your day. You see, smiling, it releases endorphins in your face or whatever, and some of us are grouches. We don't never smile, and so we got to make ourselves do it, you know? We got to make ourselves be joyful, or at least look. And you know what? When you smile, they're contagious. But also, knowing that there is no one that loves us like Jesus gives us freedom to live in this world. It gives us freedom from anything that would come against us. And so, maybe you want to try that. Write it on a note and put it in your house somewhere where it says, smile and say, nobody loves you like Jesus. And just see what happens, right? I mean, it can't hurt, you know what I mean? But I do want to tell you, it is good to see you today, and that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for us as Jesus. As you're turning to Nehemiah chapter 7, if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. Amen? And if you're watching us by Facebook today, it's good to have you. If you're listening in the parking lot, it's good to have you too. You're no less a part of this service as if you were sitting in here. We count you as an honored guest. Now, we do got a lot of people traveling today. I think half the deacon board is on the road going somewhere today. But that Bible says where two or more are gathered, He'll be in the midst. Amen? Or do we have any words of praise or testimony before we get to going in our sermon this morning? Amen. Amen. Anyone else today just got it? Yes, sister. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. How many years has it been since you've seen your boy? 4 years. My mama and her boy have been separated. I hate to be him. She's going to crush him to death when he gets home, ain't she? Anybody else got a word of praise or testimony this morning? Mm-hmm. We will be. We'll be praying for him. There's many today that's battling cancer or some kind of disease that we need to be lifting up. And just remember, it could very easily be us that receive the news of it, or no telling, one of us may one day. But today, as we look in the book of Nehemiah, if I had a title for this morning's message, it would be Standing Ready to Serve, or really a physical preparation for a spiritual awakening. A physical preparation for a spiritual awakening. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the honor of God's Word. We're going to read Nehemiah chapter 7, verses 1 through 7, and then we're going to jump all the way to the end, to verse 70, and finish it out. So Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. Nehemiah chapter 7, verse 1. When the wall had been rebuilt and I had the doors installed, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites were appointed. Then I put my brother Hananiah in charge of Jerusalem, along with Hananiah, commander of the fortress, because he was a faithful man who feared God more than the rest. And I said to them, "Do not open the gates of Jerusalem until the sun is hot, and let the doors be shut in a secure fashion while the guards are on duty. Station the citizens of Jerusalem as guards, some at their post, some at their homes. But the city was large and spacious, and there were few people in it, and no houses had been built yet. Then my God put it into my mind to assemble the nobles, officials, and the people to be registered by genealogy. I found the genealogical record of those who came back first, and I found the following written: These are the people of the province who went up among the captives exiled, deported by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Each of them returned to Jerusalem and Judah to his own town. And they came with Zerubbabel, Jeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, I think I missed a letter there, Remiah, Nehemiah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispareth, Bigva, Nahum, and Bani. Now jump over to verse 70 and see what happens now between verses 8 and verse 70 is he's going through the lineage. These are all the families that have come back. These are the families that's been restored. And notice he said, some but not many are in Jerusalem, but others are on the outside. So probably what's happening as he's calling this, and it's really going to make a difference as we look over into chapter 8, he's probably calling for these families to come in to Jerusalem so that they could check them off and make sure that they've laid eyes. These families that were once slaves that had been carried off into Babylon and been ruled by Nebuchadnezzar and Darius and Artaxerxes, now they've come back to the area, Judah. And now that they've got the walls reestablished, he's calling the families in. He's calling the people of God to the city of God. And he's going to kind of figure out who we got, what we got, and where do we need to go from here. Notice it says in verse 70 of Nehemiah chapter 7, some of the family heads contributed to the project. The governor, which more than likely is Nehemiah, remember he was appointed governor, as was Tobiah and Sanballat over other regions. He's the governor over Judah. And he says the governor gave 1,000 gold coins, 50 bowls, and 530 priestly garments to the treasury. Some of the families gave 20,000 gold coins and 2,200 silver minas to the treasury for the project. And the rest of the people gave 20,000 gold coins, 2,000 silver minas, and 16 priestly garments. The priests, Levites, gatekeepers, temple singers, and some of the people, temple servants, and all Israel settled in their town. Or basically, they settled in their right place. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as you are being seated and be reminded that this, what we're seeing, is a physical preparation for a spiritual awakening. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the privilege and the calling to be a preacher. God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, that it's not about me. It's not about what I do. It's not about how I pronounce words. It's not about how much fervor or loudness or softness is in my voice. But God, it's about the Word of God moved with the Spirit of God that changes the hearts and minds of people. And so, God, I ask you today to forgive me of my sins, and you use this empty vessel, this weak vessel, and you take your Word and cause it to twist and turn in the minds and in the heart of men and women, whether they're saved or whether they're lost. God, that your Word, and we're promised that it will not return void, but it will accomplish what it set out to do. And so, God, that's what I pray today, that we will be in the place that you can work through us. Let our hearts and minds be together. Those that's watching by Facebook, those that's listening in the parking lot, oh Holy Spirit, blow across this place that's been dedicated for your service. And speak to us in only a way that you can. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Now if you remember all the way back to the beginning, as we've studied the book of Nehemiah, the whole goal has been to kindly look at what happened in the Old Testament in a physical sense and see that God is wanting to do the same in the spiritual sense where we're at today. Just like in the Old Testament, the spotless lamb had to be slaughtered and they had to have the scapegoat that carried away the sins of the people, and they would carry it out in the wilderness so that it could no longer return to the dwelling of the people. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." He is that spotless Lamb. And today, whosoever by faith reaches out and lays their hand on the spotless Lamb, then He carries our sins into His tomb. The fit man, the one that was the only man that is able, just like they had to have a man or the fit man in the Old Testament that was able to not only carry the scapegoat into the wilderness, but he had to be able to come back without the scapegoat. Hallelujah. Today, Jesus Christ is not only the Lamb, but he is the scapegoat, and he is also the fit man that went down into the grave. And 3 days later, he rose back up, and he is coming again anytime now. Don't that make you feel good today? See, there's always a reason to praise the Lord. But what we've seen in the book of Nehemiah, as we read over in chapter 1, is that Nehemiah asked the question of his brother Hananiah that we read about in today once again. And God used the answer of Nehemiah's brother to give Nehemiah a burden. The Bible says, anyone who will come after me, in the New Testament sense, it says, if anyone will come up to me, let them take up their cross daily. Let them take up their burden every day and walk in the path that I've walked in. And what we see is Nehemiah gets the burden, and God's favor is poured out on Nehemiah. Nehemiah gets to where he's serving under the protection, the power, and the purpose of a physical king, but also the King of Kings, even greater. Today, hallelujah, the Bible says we're more than conquerors in Christ. We serve when we are committed to who we are in Him and the calling that He has given us, then we can rest assured every day as we go that we're serving under the pleasure, the power, the purpose, and we can persevere in the name above all names, the King above all kings, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, as Nehemiah served under the benefits of the king and under the power of the king and had all the supplies he needed, Nehemiah could not build the wall himself. You see, the vision had to be passed on to the people. And the people, it says, that they had a mind to work. After Nehemiah told them and said, the good hand of my God is upon me, they said, okay, let's do the work, let's get at it. You know what else? They got tired in the midst of it. But Nehemiah kept rallying. He kept telling them, hey, this is not about the enemy. It's not about us leaving a legacy, but it's about us doing the work of God that God has called us to do. And I'll be honest with you, I think that we're standing on a precipice now at our church. I believe we're setting up for the next 30 to 40 years. And it's time for us, and physically, hallelujah, God's been revving up the things around here. God, we're seeing programs begin to move. We're seeing the church being full again. We're seeing the Holy Spirit move. We feel the presence of God. We've been establishing that wall. We've been establishing that place. But praise God, we cannot get caught up in the lull. You know, I mean, we've done a lot of stuff. I'm going to go through it again. What we've got is done. But see, in the book of Nehemiah, we're kind of at a changing point because you remember the physical vision that Nehemiah had has been finished. 2.4 miles long, 39 feet tall, 8 feet wide with 34 watchtowers and at least 10 to 12 gates on that thing. And the city has been raised back up. And there's a reason to rejoice. But you know what I know about when you have a high? Usually it's followed by a low. And you know what happens? We who are lazy, we who are sinners in and of our flesh, we'll look at what we've done and we'll say, man, that was awesome and it was great. I got time to rest. And I've had people in this church that's talked about how they've been to other churches and they've had physical things that they've did and they got it accomplished. And then after that, then nothing else was done and the church is basically on its last legs today. And you see, we're at that lull right now where God's working, God's moving, God's doing things, but we've had the Spirit of God breathe in here. We've had some awesome services. We've had some raise your hands and celebrate. Do you know what? Not every day is going to be like that, and we cannot get caught up in the lull. You see, Nehemiah was building the wall because he didn't like the wall being laid down and being a rebuke and being a reproach to the people of Jerusalem. Remember, the wall was the strength of the people, the power of the nation, but also it was an example of the God that they served and the strength of the God that they served. And remember, Jerusalem was 2,575 feet above sea level, and then on top of that you add a wall that goes up. Praise God, that's a defended city. That's the city that is set on a hill that was a shining light to all those that were around them. And now they've got the walls built back up. And you know what? If they're not careful, we'll get in that place. Well, what do I do now? Where do I go from here? Can I tell you this? The whole thing, Nehemiah was building the wall because he wanted to raise back up the standard of God's people. But you know what God was doing the whole time? He wasn't really worried about the wall. He was bringing the people together because he's fixing to send revival to God's people. And you see, as we reestablish the workings around here, and we reestablish even the outside, we've been talking about doing the outside. Now, we know what we think and what we expect the ministry of Thomas Village to look like, but can I tell you this? If we'll just focus on holding up the standard and being where we're supposed to be, praise God, I believe that God is going to do great things, but I believe even more that He's going to send an awakening and that the next level is just around the bend. You remember when Moses got the word from God and he put it on the tablets, it talked about how some went up a quarter of the way, some went up halfway, and another went up the third way, and the higher they went, the deeper they got into the glory cloud. And you know what? The ones that wasn't willing to climb further, they laid at the bottom. They never had the experience that the ones had midway and three quarters of the way. Same thing with the apostles. On the Mount of Transfiguration, those boys got up early in the morning and they were willing to walk with Jesus to the top and they seen the glory of heaven revealed on earth. They went to another level in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because they were willing to go further than most in their commitment. And if we want to have that next level, and believe you me, hallelujah, there is a next level. And we can experience here on this side. But we've got to be willing to press on. They're at a critical place here. You see, the enemies were still alive. The enemies were still there. Sanballat and the others, Ammon, they were still there. But Tobiah was within the city. He was working right there. And can I tell you this, Thomas Village Baptist Church, the devil don't like what's been going on around here. He don't like the fact of seeing things getting back. He don't like the fact of seeing you on the altar September the 12th. Yes, I wrote it down because I believe that's what will bring revival. The devil's going to fight us. He's going to come against us. We've got Sunday school back going. We're pushing on 500 shoeboxes. WOM is going. Worship in the Field brought us new prayer warriors in. Awana's going. The biggest viewing on Facebook we've ever had. Better relationships with our association. A new Sunday school class is kicking up. Last week we had 100 on campus. You tell me God ain't working. You tell me God is not doing something. Yeah, we're going to have a cleaning day. I spoke with Brother Matt Sexton yesterday. We're narrowing down for the marriage retreat in February. Yes, we're pushing on, but there's just a little lull. But can I remind you, the best is yet to come. You see, we're having a physical preparation around here because God's going to bring a spiritual revival. But I want you to notice something. Nehemiah nor the people of Jerusalem at that time sat on their hands. They didn't stop working. Notice what it says. Number one, we see that Nehemiah focused the spiritual leaders on service and praise. Nehemiah got the leaders to be focused on service and praise. And before a little bit of fast forwarding in chapter 8, they fixing to have a celebration. They fixing to have a good time. But notice the first thing it says as I talk about leaders. It's the gatekeepers. The attendants. In chapter verse 1. I installed the doors, the gatekeepers, singers, and Levites. The gatekeepers are those who stand on the wall and they let it go up and down, up and down. They're the ones that let those come in and let those come out. They're watching to make sure that the enemy cannot come in. Can I tell you this? Hallelujah, praise God. I've got some great deacons around me, but also there are great people in this church, and we have to stand up and make sure that the work of God continues to go on for His glory, for His name, for the growth of His kingdom, and that our church never become about the person in the pew, that it's got to be our way or the highway. We can't be selfish. We have to be selfless so that the church can grow and that God may be glorified. But not only that, notice he didn't stop at gatekeepers, but it said he appointed singers. Singers is an expression of praise that could describe the entire book of Psalms. Singing to the Lord is a method used also all often to exalt, to glorify, and to praise the Lord God. The plural of the term singers is found at least 16 times in Nehemiah to describe the singers who sang the songs of Israel in Zion after they had returned from exile. You know what he's getting ready to do? He's getting the choir ready, praise God. He's getting the choir. Because why? Because they're going to sing praises are once again going to ring out in the city of God. And they could be safe in it. Why? Because they know the people are guarding them. Somebody's looking out for them. They're making sure that they have the place and they have the time to get ready to praise God and give Him the glory that He's due. Now, do you know what? Do you know what? There's many people today that would trade places with you where you're at right now because their life is so difficult. And yet we complain and we get down and out when God is so good. Every breath we take, He has provided. Every meal of food we take in our mouth, He has given. Every step we take is because He allows us to take it. We are but dust under the nails of His fingers. But yet He loves us and His eye is on the sparrow. And praise God, today His eye is upon each and every one of us. Yes, we need to be able to praise at any time. What does it say in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18? He said, don't get drunk on wine. He says, which leads to recklessness, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How many of you today, just in the past week, asked the Holy Spirit to fill you? Amen. I didn't ask your hands. You made people embarrassed there. But you know what? We should talk to the Holy Spirit. We should ask Him to take control. Why? Because He is the ever-presence of God in our very being. When we study the Word, we ought to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. How many of you has ever heard the phrase of the line of the tribe of Judah? How many of you know what Judah means? Praise. Praise. You'll find something else that's neat. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 37, you'll see that, remember when the brothers tried to sell Joseph off? You remember they was going to kill him first. You remember that? And they was going to take his... But they didn't kill him. They just killed a goat and put blood all over his jacket and took it back to his daddy. But then over in verse 37, one of the brothers speaks up and he says, hey, let's don't kill him. Let's just sell him and make some money off of him. Can you guess who that was? Judah. So how was Joseph's life saved? It was because praise intervened. You understand what I'm saying? What happened over in the jail cell when Paul and Silas began to praise God? What happened? When praise came in, it affected the course of their life. And I'm going to tell you this today. We need to get serious about our praise and worship here at Thomas Village. We need to learn how to not get caught up with Joe Blow sitting beside us. Not to get caught up with what always been acceptable. Well, we need to get caught up in the Holy Spirit. You know, some churches, they lower the lights during singing time. You know why they do that? Because they found that if people don't think other people's watching them, that they'll get more free in their worship. Now, I ain't going to con you like that. I think more of you like that, but I think you need to just let rip and raise your hand up and shout if you want to shout. I think you need to come to the altar anytime at any spot in the service if the Holy Spirit's leading you to. And then the last thing is this. He says, I appointed doorkeepers, those who make sure right things is going on, that the bad things are kept out and the good things. Then he says, I want some praise. We're going to have some praise. He focused on praise. And the last thing, who did he appoint? The Levites. You know who the Levites were? You remember, they weren't given a portion of the land. No, what did it say? Your portion is the Lord. And you know what we see in the Levites? They were the ones that would, you got the scribes and stuff out of that they would write down the scripture. You know what happened? He made sure praise and scripture were made first. Praise and scripture. We've talked about this before, but how many lives do we have? We got our home life, got our work life, got our date life, got our church life. Anywhere in there, is God's word the ultimate in your life? What about His praise? Do you make a priority in every... See, the fact is all those ain't different lives. They're all one life. And we're just one person. And we need to find our identity in Christ, and that way through our entertainment life all the way to our church life. It doesn't matter, because His word and His praise are the priority. We focused on that. You remember, what do we see about Nehemiah? Nehemiah, when things happened, what did he do? He prayed. It was his default. Do you know what? We need to always fall back on being spiritually focused on His word, His praise, and doing what's right in His eyes. Amen? All right, so we see that Nehemiah confirms or he focuses the leaders on praise and service. But then I want you to see something else. Nehemiah specifically puts people in the position that he needs them to be in. And I'm going to tell you right now, we've got people that need to be in the position right now. Well, you know what? God has done a great ministry at Thomas Village Baptist Church through the van ministry. He has. He's done awesome things. But you know what? Right now, the van ain't running. And the reason is because nobody will step up to drive the van. Does God want the ministry of our vans to be dead right now, or is somebody not stepping up and doing what God has called? You see, that's the type of evaluating we must do. That's the type of things that God called. That's a part of the cross. That's a part of the burden of picking it up. But notice what he says. He says, then I put Hananiah. Who's Hananiah? You remember, that was his brother. That was the one who was honest with him and told him things wasn't good. That wasn't what Nehemiah wanted to hear, what his brother told him, but it was what he needed to hear. Remember, that it's in reproach. The people are desolate. Things ain't good, Nehemiah. And God took what his brother said and gave him a burden. And now that burden's led to the reality of the standard being restored back there. And what did he... God has used Hananiah in his life before. Nehemiah knew he could trust his brother. And so what did it do? It said that he took him and he appointed him a governor. Basically, they appointed him a mayor over Jerusalem. You see, it was he that helped take away the great trouble. It was he that helped remove the disgrace and the dishonor around him. And then it all around Judah and Jerusalem. And then there's a Hananiah. Notice it says that he was the commander of the fortress or the commander of the palace. Basically, this is a fortified structure for the king and for the temple to make sure that the enemy could not come in and could not fight. The Bible tells us could not destroy Jerusalem. The Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 11, it says, "Finally be strong by the Lord and by His vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil." This is why you must take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the day of having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand, therefore. You see, He's placing a lot of confidence in these men. He knows that they're willing to fight beside of Him, that they'll stand with Him. And it also says about Hananiah, the leader of the fortress, or the commander of the fortress, what did it say? It said that he feared God more than other men. Can I tell you something? I love the deacons that God has put around me at Thomas Village Baptist Church. And I do a lot of them. In case you don't know, we have a care ministry. Every deacon has at least 10 homes on their list. I have all the deacons. They're mine. I look out for them. I watch over them. I talk to them about every week, at least one-on-one or through a text. And then they are to reach out when things are going on. And I also wanted to go down to where Sunday school teachers are leaders of their own small, personal little congregation there. And then the communication can flow. There needs to be a setup. There needs to be established. God is not the author of confusion, but He sets things up and He provides faithful men, faithful women to be in the positions that they need to be in. You see, the Bible says that in Proverbs 12:15, it says, "The way of the fool is right in his own mind, but a wise man is he who listens to godly counsel." Let me ask you this today. Do you have godly counsel in your life? Is there someone that maybe won't tell you what you need to hear? Or they may not tell you what you want to hear, but they'll tell you what you need to hear? Praise God, we've lost that in America. But you know what? What does the Bible say? Better is the reproach of a friend than love in secret. You see, Nehemiah had these men. Praise God, we've got men and women here at Thomas Village that I believe that are ready to go and to do something for the Lord. But just like with Nehemiah, Nehemiah had the vision. Nehemiah had the hand of God upon him. Praise God, we've got a vision here. The hand of God is good upon us. I believe I can say that by the testimonies I've heard from non-members this week about the Spirit of God in this place. But you know what? Just like the wall couldn't be rebuilt without the people, we cannot press on for another 30 years unless you get excited about the Lord Jesus Christ and working for Him and for what God's doing around here. Notice what it says. It says, "Don't open the gate till the sun is high." You see, the thing is real. And remember, it says that the house, or that the don't open the gate. Why? Because the enemy's still there. You know, we have to stay on defense. He's always coming against us. That's why multiple times a day we need to confess our sins and just pray, "God, again, I want to be found in Your presence." But notice what He else said. He said, "Station the citizens." Now notice, He put the singers, He got the praise and the worship and all that. He got that established, and then He made sure He had two good ones. But what happens then? Then He says, "Put the inhabitants of Jerusalem," the people that live here, the people whose name are a part of this place, they need to be in positions of guards. They need to stand up, and they need to be watchful. For some of them, they're going to be put in positions. Others, you just need to make sure that their home is took care of. Folks, that's the same way it is in the church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. "For as one body is one and has many members, all other parts of that body, though many, are one body also in Christ. And if everybody that makes up the body of Christ locally, that is Thomas Village, would step up and we'd do whatever God's called us to do, then the Bible says, greater things will ye do in My name when I'm gone." You see, God has blessed us with leaders. Just like He gave Nehemiah to the people, God has given us good godly leaders here at Thomas Village that are focused on and want to be focused on service, the Word of God, and the praise of God. But also, there's station leaders, but it's not the leaders that's going to make the difference, but it's the inhabitants that make up Thomas Village Baptist Church that God is going to use to cause ripples in our community, and I believe on through the area. And thirdly, there was a sustained stirring up of the people. there was a sustained stirring up of the people. Notice it says that the city was large and spacious, but there were few people in it, and no houses had been built yet. Then, notice what he says, then my God put it into my mind. What did he say? This is not my thought. This is what God, we built the wall, so now what will we do? Praise God, it doesn't matter where we're at. God's always got the next step planned out for us. If we'll be willing to listen to Him and to act on what His Spirit and the counsel of His people tell us, then He's going to give us that next step. He says, so then God put it in my mind to assemble the nobles, the officials, and the people to be registered. I found the genealogical record of those who first came back, and I found this written, and then it goes through all of that. Notice what it says. It says right now, it says the space that was large and spacious. The city was large and spacious, meaning that there was plenty of room within that walls to do good things. Stop right now and look left and right. Hey, do you think there's room? Amen, there's room. Matter of fact, you can look to the left and the right and you can think about faces that should be here that were here before COVID, but they're not here now. You see, it says there was only field. The Bible says this, for who? There's always room at the cross, and praise God, as long as I'm pastor here, there will always be room for another one at Thomas Village Baptist Church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would receive Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Then He said what? There's few people. It broke His heart. Why? Because the people of God were not at the house of God. They were not there to serve. They had to be brought back. They were still exiled. They were still gone. They were living outside. Let me ask you this right now. We're told in the book of Luke, John chapter 4, that Jesus said, look unto the fields. For the fields are white, but the laborers are few. I looked up the word labor. You know what it means? One that toils, one that puts out effort, one that is tired out because of hard work. Can I ask you then, when's the last time you got tuckered out just serving the Lord? I know a lot of workers, you can answer easy. I know that, okay? Sunday school teachers, I know y'all can answer very fast on that. And I'm thankful for that very much. You're a gift from God. Just as everyone in here is that's been called by God. Notice, He calls out in the... with their few people. Let me ask you this. Are we excited? Are we hungry for lost souls? Are we weeping over lost souls? Are we excited about what Jesus can do with a lost soul? Huh? Are we excited about what God's doing around this church? Well, when's the last time you invited somebody then? Huh? When's the last time that you just said, the Spirit of God is heavy at Thomas Village? You know what? We're not going to grow until we start telling people out there that something good is going on in here. Amen. Deacons can't do that. Pastors can't do that. So Nehemiah, he was stirring them up. He's calling them in. He says, I want to do a genealogy. I want to do this and that. I want to make sure we're going to get them in and see how much we got here. We're going to stir them up. We're going to get them out of their comfort zone. We're going to bring them from the highways and hedges and out from the suburbs. And we're going to get them in the city because the wall's been raised back up. You see, we've got to get like that. You've got to get excited about your church. You've got to get excited about your Savior. You've got to get excited about the expectation that's going on around here. You've got to get excited about what the future holds. Can I tell you this? Right now, Thomas Village, we're in the best place to grow than we have been in the 5 years that I've been here. I was here 6 months, got to a wreck, and basically it had me laid up for a year and a half where I really couldn't do anything. And then about 6 months after that, COVID came, and everything got wiped out. But right now, we're healthy, we're serving, we're ready to go. Is the people ready to see the physical become the spiritual renewal that I believe God wants to bring? That's where we're at. I'm telling you, we're at a key place. We can't get caught in the lull. We can't get caught up in the downtime, you might say. Nehemiah said, I'm going to get them all back in here. I'm going to get every... And you know what? If you're not excited about your church, if you're not excited about your Savior, If you're not excited about what Jesus wants to do through you, one, you need to check up on your salvation. And what I'm fixing to say, I'm not saying it mean, but you need to find a church you can get excited about. You need to find a place. I'm not talking about just the emotional, let's have a rock concert, stuff like that, but find a preacher that reaches into your heart and stirs you a little bit. Find a place where you want to serve and work and do all that. Hey, hallelujah, I'm excited about our new college and career age class. You know what? I don't think we're going to keep all of them that start that class, but you know what? We're going to do our best to invest in them so that when God raises them up to work here or wherever they're at, that they're going to be productive for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Where'd you learn to do that, Thomas Village Baptist Church? Hey, what is that a testimony or what? And you see, right now, we have a living testimony. God is doing stuff every week around here. Hey, the youth went out and bought a whole field of pumpkins last night. They was going on a hayride, but instead they bought the field of pumpkins. I don't know what happened there. My son come in there with large ones, small ones, green ones, striped ones, all these other ones, and find out everybody else did. How many did we have at the WOM tea party? Over 30. Daggum. Yeah, God wants to do something around here. Daggum. That's a South Georgia word, okay? Sometimes when you just can't get it out, daggum. As we just throw it in there. But you see, it's amazing. And that's what we have to do. We're in this little lull time. People's traveling. It's easy to say, well, you know, I know our church. Blah, blah, blah. You know what? We've been running 90 to 100 the past 3 weeks. And that don't count what's on Facebook. So we see that, but then he stirs up the people. But you know what? That's a part of a Christian's DNA. You know what? If you're serving the Lord, you're going to rile some people up. You're going to stir some people up. Listen, Luke chapter 23, verse 5. But they, the Sanhedrin, kept insisting, he, Jesus, stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judah from Galilee, where he was started even here. What did that say Jesus did? He stirred up the people. Listen, Acts 17:6. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, these men who have stirred trouble around the world have come here. What are they doing? They're stirring up. And then Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, therefore I remind you to do what? Stir up the gift that is within you. Yes. I know you don't like me hearing say to me about you need to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I know you can't be here all the time, but you need to try. Hey, if I walked in here this morning and I'd have said this, well, first off, I just got to tell you, I believe we need to shut down Wednesday night and Sunday night services. Some of you would get mad as a wet set in here with me, but we ain't going to do that, mind you. But you'd get mad as a wet set in here with me, but you won't give a second thought to showing up at either one of those. Stir you up, stir you up, stir you up. Am I right? That's right. But that's what I'm supposed to do, right? I'm supposed to stir. You know what else? You're supposed to stir yourself up. Now, boy, you know you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. You better get down there and say your prayers. You better get in your word. Why? Because you know what? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm training the flesh to have to be submissive to the Holy Ghost. You know what? You have to make it. Like you have to make a child do some things. You have to make a child brush his teeth. You ought to make a child read the Bible too, because between brushing teeth and reading the Bible is a lot more important than brushing your teeth. You need to still brush your teeth, don't get me wrong, but you understand what I'm saying? So we see that he had the people focused on the spiritual things and the praise of things, and really he's getting them focused to celebrate. We see that there were solid servants set up and ready to serve. But then we see that Nehemiah didn't let the people get complacent. He kept them stirred up. He kept them wound up. And then in the last verses, 70 through 73, we see that God's servants sacrifice for the vision. God's servants sacrifice so that his vision could become a reality. That's what it takes. It takes God's children being willing to pick up their cross, being willing to pick up their burden and follow. Now, I'm not going to read this because we're getting close on to 12, and I know some of y'all have quit listening after 12. So notice what it says. I want you to look how much they gave her. They say, now you're thinking about it. It's my fault. Now, according to the MacArthur Study Bible, 1997 edition, notice it says that the governor gave 1,000 gold coins. At that time, that would have been equal to $1,280,000. One man gave $128,000. $1,028,000. Plus, he gave them some bowls, which were probably not clay pots. They were probably some valuable brass or silver or something like that. And then it says that he also gave garments. But then notice it said some families. Now, I don't know if this was individual families gave this much or if it was a group that throwed together. I'm kindly leaning to the fact that it was wealthier families that came together. And notice how much they gave. They gave 20,000 gold coins or $2,560,000. And then they gave 140,000 in silver and everything else. And then it says the rest of the family, probably your lower income ones, because remember he was going through and you had the highs to the lows. Notice what it says they gave. They also gave 20,000 gold coins. So that's another $2,560,000. And then they gave silver up to 1,280 for a total of right at 6,000, I think. My wife is wrong. But, I mean, if we round it up, we know we got 5,000, 6,000, over $6 million. They gave over $6 million. Can I tell you this, Thomas Village, you're a giving church. You are. You are. You're a giving church, and God is blessing us in that giving. The same ones that gave the money had to be the same ones that were out there holding the trowel and spreading the mud. Had to be. Why do we know it? Because we're told they was. Only one group of nobles didn't work. Only one group of rich folks didn't work. The rest of them, the rich man and the poor man, were down there working together. And you see, there's many needs in our church today. And these men and women, they stood in their guard places. They stood up at their home to defend their home, but they also gave of themselves to sacrifice. Matthew 16:24, Mark 8:34, Mark 10:21, Luke 9:23. If any man would come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. So we see in this that there's a focus on praise and on spiritual service. There's solid leaders that God had placed around Nehemiah, solid people. And then Nehemiah stirred up the people. And what we're going to see next week is Nehemiah basically has followed God's will. And while he was building the wall, God brought the people in. And next week, the Word of God is going to change their lives. The Word of God is going to change. The Word of God is going to carry them to the next level. Their obedience to the Word of God is going to carry them on to the next level. And then we see that it takes God's servant sacrificing for the vision to be fulfilled. God called me to be saved back in 1999, June of 1999. Never in my life would I thought he'd have brought me to where I'm at. Like you. Just right now in your mind, go back to that day that you know your life changed. You know, because the reality of Jesus and His grace, you've never been the same. And you know, in that moment, not only did He save you, not only did He confirm your eternity, but the Bible says that He gave you a gift. He gave you the ability to do something, but also He called you to service that day. As I read behind Brother Daryl Fletcher, it says back in 1982, there was a mission started, which is Thomas Village Mission, and it's now Thomas Village Baptist Church, and basically is 40 years old. But no matter when you got saved, no matter where you got saved, when God called us, you know what? He knew that this 17th of October, that all of us would be together and that He would bring us together. Why? Because He wants to do something awesome through us being His body. But we can't get comfortable in the down times. We got to continue to stay stirred up. You remember in Philippians it says that it is God who gives us the gift, but also the desire and the power to use it. That's where we've got to begin. Lord, send revival in my heart. Are you still praying for revival? Are you still asking God to make you closer tomorrow than you are to Him today? Or have you just kind of seen things are looking pretty good around here and so we've settled down? No, let's keep praying. Let's keep crying. Let's keep weeping. Let's keep searching. Because in doing that, let's keep praising. Because in doing that, we'll see God do something amazing around here. He already is, if you're looking. If you're looking, ooh-wee, something's going on. Water's a bubbling. I think we might be going to have a blessing where it overflows the cup. Remember the old song, I'm drinking from a saucer. I wouldn't mind drinking from a saucer, would you? As our piano player and our song director come this morning, I'm just going to open up today. Number one, if you're not saved, today could be your day of salvation. Today could be the day that your eternity is transformed. And you know what? The day will be the day that you could, all those sins that you're carrying could be picked off of you and you become a new individual in Christ. Today might be the day that you need to come and just rededicate your life. And you said, I was down there 2 weeks ago. So what, man? So what, woman? Every day. What did Paul say? I die daily. I die daily. I die daily. Maybe today it's time for you to be a member. Like I said, when God saved you, He called you and He gave you a gift. And no better place to use that gift than right here, I believe. Daddy said we was the second best. No, we're the first best church. Nah. We're blessed because the Spirit meets with us. We're blessed because He has a plan and a purpose. And we're blessed because His mercies are new each day. Are we, like Nehemiah, willing to carry our burden to wherever it may be? Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your love. And I thank You, Lord, that You're moving, that Your Spirit is here. I thank You for the unity. I thank You for the love. I thank You for the fellowship. But Heavenly Father, Lord, we don't want to just play church. God, I don't want to play church. I don't want to just go through the motions. God, I want You to do something that the next generations cannot forget the way it happened here at Thomas Village. But God, it's got to start with us as individuals. If there be one here today that doesn't know You, if there be one today that maybe needs to join, rededicate, maybe wants to be rebaptized, whatever the need might be, You come. There's mercy attentiveness. Don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock, Awana, and good things is going on there. Words of praise or testimony before we close out. Good to thank for y'all being here, and do pray. We got a lot traveling, so pray for them as well. And let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, God, I thank You for this day. I thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, Your love. I'm thankful for who You are and who I am in You. So, God, I pray You take Your word today and You do with it as You see fit. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Amy Gunner, could you report to the pulpit, please?